Welcome to another message from the book of Acts. The book of Acts, most people call it the Acts of the Apostles. But it's more than that. It's the Acts of the churches and how the apostles built churches and how the apostles taught churches to cooperate and to work together and to watch each other's backs, so to speak. And that's what we have a lesson in tonight, is the church at Antioch. And as the church sends out missionaries, the missionaries build churches, and the missionaries teach the churches to cooperate with one another. We know that the church in Jerusalem, many of the people sold everything they had and donated it to the church. And they lived from day to day because Matthew, the 28th chapter, says, in the King James, it says, go ye therefore and make disciples. But it does not say, go ye therefore. It says, after you have been scattered, make disciples. And that's exactly what's happening here, is the churches are being scattered because of persecution and famine, and they are building and helping one another because they are only pilgrims in the land now. They were before, they were residents, but now they become pilgrims of the earth and not residents. Verse 19, the 11th chapter of verse 19, Hoi man e un diasporontes, apo tes delipsis tes genomenes, epi stephano deelthon eos phonikes kai kipru kai antiochias medine lalontes ton logon he me monon judeas. And here is the fulfillment of Matthew 28 and verse 18 right here. Indeed, the ones therefore having been dispersed from pressures and afflictions, this word thalipsios, that means tremendous pressures. The church scattered because of persecution and murder. Having been occurred upon Stephen, and we know that happened at Stephen's gate, and they passed through until they came to Phoenicia, Phoenicas, and Cyprus, and Antioch, and moreover, speaking the word not only to the Jews, but to the Gentiles. Not only to the Jews, but unto the Gentiles. Verse 20, Eson de tines ex auton Andres Scipioi kai Cenaeos hotenes elthontes eis Antiochon elalon kai pros tus elinas euangelomenoi ton curio eson. And there kept on being some of them, men of Cyprus, Cypriots, and Cyrenians, who, having come to Antioch, they kept on speaking also to the Hellenistic Jews, the Greeks, to the Greeks, the Hellenists, evangelizing them, the Lord Jesus, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Israel. Verse number 21, Kai ein ker curio meth auton polis te arithmos ho pistiosos epistrepsin epiton curion. And it kept on being the hand of the Lord with them, much, both in number, arithmos, that's where we get a word arithmetic from, and the ones having believed, the one having believed, he turned toward the Lord, or upon the Lord. 22, accuse de ho logos, eis to ota, teis, ekklesias tes ouses en Jerusalem, peri auton kai exi pestalon Barnabon eos Antiochus. And they heard, I was caused to hear, the word in the ears of the church, the one being in Jerusalem, concerning them, these Jews, these Greeks. And they sent out Barnabas. Now, Barnabas means son of consolation, and it is an Aramaic name. Bar-Nahum. Unto Antioch. Antioch. In verse number 23, Hos paragenomenos, kai edon tain karin tain tu theo, ekare kai parakale pantas te prothesi, tes karias prosmenen to kyriol. And that one, Barnabas, having arrived and having seen the grace of God, the grace belonging to God and from God, he rejoiced, or he was caused to rejoice, and he kept on exhorting all of the ones with purpose, prothesis, with purpose of the heart, to remain with the Lord, to remain with him. The ones with purpose of heart. That's a beautiful word, prothesis. That means to make your plans and to follow the plans. Make your plan and follow the plan. Verse number 24. Hoti ein aner agathos kai pleres numatos hagio kai pistios kai pros etete oklos ikanos to kurio. Because this man kept on being good. That word agathos there. That's very good. That's spiritually good. And he was full of the Spirit, filled up with the Spirit, holy, and filled up with faith. And it was added a great crowd, considerable, to the Lord. This word crowd there means this is 5,000 to 10,000 people. That's oklos. Considerable crowd, 5,000 to 10,000 people. We have mega churches in America today that were not as big as these. These first churches, many people believed. And verse number 25, exalting de es tarson anasetese salon. And he went out unto Tarsus to seek Saul, which had become Paul. To seek Tarsus. Now Tarsus, the metatarsus, are the seven bones of the ankle. And this word Tarsus, that's where Paul was. And Tarsus was a free city. If you lived, if you were a citizen of Tarsus, you did not pay taxes to the Roman Empire. Because that was a free city with free Roman citizens. Verse number 26 now. Kai, Euron, Agagon, Ace, Antiochian, Aganato, De, Atois kai, ene aton, holon, sina thene, en te ekklesia, kai didoke, oklon, ikano. Krematise, te protos, en Antiocha, tus mathetes, Christianos. Christianos. And having found, he brought unto Antioch and became over to them also a whole year. An entire year to be assembled in the ones called out in the assembly and to teach a considerable crowd, 5,000 to 10,000 people, to call. Now it says here, this is a very important verse. This is the first place that the disciples of Jesus were called Christians. Christians means Christ-like. Little anointed ones. Ones who have been set aside for a special purpose. Kings were anointed, priests were anointed, and prophets were anointed. And the Lord's people were anointed with the Spirit of God. Verse number 27. In tautes, de, tes, and meros, kathelphon, apo, Jerusalem, prophete, eis, Antiochion. And during these days, they came down from Jerusalem, prophete, prophets, unto Antioch. There were prophets. One of the gifts placed in the church was prophets. You remember? Mm-hmm. One of the gifts placed in the church was pastors. One of the gifts placed in the church was deacons. One of the gifts placed in the church were evangelists. And these were prophets. Now, what does a prophet do? It tells something before it happens. Prophecy. Marilyn's been watching a show on television. And I've been quite a prophet to that show, haven't I? Before everything happened, I said, well, this is the next thing that's going to happen in this show. The next thing's going to happen. Did it happen? Mm-hmm. Now, I could just read the writers what I was doing. Just reading the writer. These people had messages from God. They had messages from God. Verse number 28. Anastas de eis ex auton onomate agabus. Eise menen dia tu numatos lemon megalen melen exeste f holon te oika monen hetis agenito epi clariu. And having stood up one of them by name of Agabus. Agabus means locust. And he signified to the Spirit a great famine, a great famine about to take place for itself over the entire inhabited earth, which happened during Claudius' reign, during the reign of Claudius Caesar. Now the word Claudius there, it comes from Latin and it means crippled. Claudius Caesar. Verse number 29 now. Ton de matheton kathos euporeto tis orison eskatos auton eis diakonion pampse tois kata o krisen en te judea adelphois. And the disciples, the habitual learners, just as he kept on being prosperous. Each one kept on being prosperous. And anyone they covenanted together, each one of them, for the ministry, for the service, and to send to the ones dwelling in Judea brothers. They were going to, one church is now going to cooperate and it's going to help another church financially and with teachers and prophets. Verse number 30 now. Ho kai apoieson apestolantes pros tus presbyteros dia kairos Barnabas kai salon. Which indeed they did. Having sent to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Now here's where Barnabas and Saul become partners in the gospel. Partners in the gospel. Now let's go back and read this from the Amplified Bible. Again. And when they heard this, they were quieted and made no further objections. This is because Peter had gone into the house of a Gentile. Now here we have a very much Gentile ministry of the church. This is where it begins. Then God has granted to the Gentiles repentance unto real life after the resurrection. And meanwhile, those who were scattered were dispersed because of the persecution that arose in connection with Stephen, had traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch without delivering the message concerning the attainment through Christ of salvation in the kingdom of God to anyone except the Jews. Still, they were very prejudiced. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on returning to Antioch spoke to the Greeks, the Hellenists, also proclaiming to them the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. Verse number 21 now. And the presence of the Lord was with them with power and great wonders, so that a great number learned to believe and to adhere to and trust in and rely upon the Lord, and they turned and surrendered themselves to Him. You know, salvation is a surrendering. It's a surrender. In America, we've had a lot of wars. We had a war between the states. We went into World War I, we went into World War II. And the war between the states was quite a problem. It was the North against the South. And the North wanted unconditional surrender. Now that's a pretty absolute term, isn't it? Unconditional surrender. In other words, if you surrender, you don't have any rights at all. Many of the people in the South were considered enemies and traitors to the country. Even the great Robert E. Lee. In World War I, we had unconditional surrender of Germany. In World War II, they wanted unconditional surrender of Germany again, which they got. And they wanted unconditional surrender of Japan. And they wanted the emperor to be executed publicly and humiliated. Well, somebody was with forethought. General MacArthur went over there to Japan. And my stepfather Dusty went there. He was at Iwo Jima also. They went to Japan and they occupied Japan and they allowed the emperor to stand as still as the emperor. That was not unconditional surrender. Because they didn't have unconditional surrender, the people would have fought to the very last man, because the emperor to them was God. If they would have executed their emperor of Japan, we'd have had a war for years to come. They would not have surrendered. But under a conditional surrender, they surrendered. Many people were mad. But now let's get back to Jesus. We run with wildness in our lives, doing our own thing, so many of us. And when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to come into our life, we have to come with unconditional surrender. We don't have any rights. When we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we don't have any rights. It's unconditional surrender. That's the purpose of the gospel. We already had all the time we needed to send ourselves to hell. From then on, we need to, with unconditional surrender, surrender our lives, our hearts, our souls, and our lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Unconditional surrender. When he arrived and saw that the grace and the favor of God was bestowing upon them, he was full of joy and continuously and exhorted and warned and urged and encouraged them all to cleave unto and remain faithful and devoted to the Lord with resolute and steady purpose of heart and unconditional surrender. That's the title of this message, Unconditional Surrender. We see churches cooperating, but when the Lord comes in your heart, it's unconditional surrender, people. For he was a good man, good in himself, and also at once for the good and the advantage of other people. Full of and controlled by the Holy Spirit, and full of faith, that is, his belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation. And a large company was added, 5,000 to 10,000 people were added to the Lord. That word, oh, close, that's what it means. And Barnabas, son of consolation, went to Tarsus to hunt for Saul. Saul means one asked for. And when he had found him, he brought him back to Antioch. For a whole year they assembled together with and were guests of the church there, and instructed a large number of people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians, anointed ones, Christ-like. And during these days, prophets, inspired teachers, interpreters of divine will and purpose came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and prophesied through the Holy Spirit that there would be a great and severe famine come upon a whole entire known world to them. And this did occur during the reign of Claudius. So the disciples resolved to send relief, everyone according to his own individual ability, in proportion as he prospered, to the brethren who lived in Judea. When God gets a hold of your heart and your soul, he also gets your pocketbook. Is that right? He does. My wife has been gracious to me. Much of what I have made in the last 20 some odd years, I put in to discovertheword.com so that you can hear the Word of God free all over the world. Because the Lord had my pocketbook. And my wife surrendered and allowed me to do that. We could have spent money on a lot of other things, but we spent money on you. For your encouragement, for your enlightenment, for the salvation that you might have received listening to these words. It takes total and unconditional surrender to be saved. Repentance and renewing of mind and heart and life. And so they did, sending their contributions to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. Unconditional surrender. Have you done that with your life? Have you? Unconditional surrender. The Lord wants you. He wants you to be saved. He wants to release you from eternal death unto eternal life. But it takes unconditional surrender on our part. To surrender our lives and our souls, our hearts, our whole meaning to Him. Has God got your pocketbook? Has God got your heart? Has God got your feelings? Does God have your total surrender? Our Father, we send this message out that it might glorify and honor you. Help it be dear to my heart and everyone that hears it. Help us to glorify you and love you with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our souls, just like it said in the Old Testament. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give us. Thank you for this night and this day to serve you and be able to glorify you by preaching your word. In Jesus' name we pray.